with Christmas coming up and everything else, but right now we're still warm. So keep enjoying the warmth because it's quite something. But we appreciate you. We just want to put that part down. Now you can start the tape. Oh, it's already going? Oh, okay. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. We thank you for being here. Like as I said, it's warm out there. We had a great time yesterday. It is good to get with people of like mind. There's a church that was in Ottumwa we have not been to. It's a member of World Ministry Fellowship as well. I guess it was a couple. Her name's Rose. I don't remember her husband's name, but he had passed away. And they had built a beautiful church down there. Man, we walk in and the floors, it's like walking in heaven. It's a deep blue with white stuff in it. It must have been a marble. You know, it was just beautiful. I mean, we walked in there, and I didn't go in the sanctuary, but Debbie and Sarah and Eric and Brendan did, and they said it's purple. Everything's purple, I guess. The chairs are purple. Off-white. It's just really gorgeous, they said. And they're really, when we were there in the meeting, you could tell the difference of the atmosphere of the building. We've been in other churches, and we've had a good time. But we were there, and the anointing was there. The music that we had, yeah, it's an apostolic church. So, I mean, it was just an awesome, awesome time to be in the presence of other people. And it was a great time to be away and get pumped up. So praise the Lord. I was getting down, and to tell you the truth, I preferred not even to be here today. Huh? That was last week, at the end of last week. I think it was Thursday. I'm thinking, Father, who can I get to teach Sunday? I'm just not getting anything. I don't know what to say. But like I said, I don't deal with any type of the same all the time, except for I'm kind of going through this right now, teaching about the stones, or I call them blocks, but they're actually foundational stones to build on. So I knew by Friday I had to sit and do something, so I sat there and I brought the word up and I started typing in, you know, Sunday's meeting, and this is what the Lord came to me. So I'm thinking, okay, he must want me to teach that again today. So it's not saying that I won't be back and I don't want to teach, and not that I don't want to be here. But I tell you, the season's changing. It is changing. It's waiting more for the body of Christ to get up and go. So I'm going to be following more by the Holy Ghost than what I got notes-wise. So I'm just going to see what the Holy Ghost wants to say. And he wants to be here. He is here. He wants to know you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to grow and prosper in him like you've never seen before. He's just waiting on you. So expect things to happen greatly in this season. Because God wants great things for you. Even though it's chaos all over the place, he wants great things for you. So I've been teaching about rights and privileges in the New Testament. I heard the same thing today. I was sitting there and listening to a pastor that Debbie was listening to, and they were saying everything awesome. And they were talking about Jesus and how he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples were there, and how he started to show, to shine, and he was going that way. And then he went back to talking about the priests in the old days and how they, you know, had a, you know, they're supposed to put the light, you know, oil in the lamps and make them burn. And he says that in one of the temples that it actually, the lights burned out, meaning the Holy Spirit wasn't there. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're seeing oil. He was talking about, yeah, they needed to get some olive oil and put it in there for their lamps, just like a hurricane lamp. You know, today you put oil in it and then it lights up, and without that, I'm just thinking, how much olive oil can you put in your lamp when the Lord comes? How's that going to make a difference in your life? He's talking about a biblical principle. But the understanding of the biblical principles aren't always there. I can have all the olive oil in my lamp when Jesus comes, and it's not going to make a difference because it's not about olive oil. Yes, it's the same principle that was said back then, but it's not about olive oil. It's about the Holy Spirit. And you see, the more Holy Spirit, if he had been saying, what he was saying was true, but he wasn't saying the Holy Spirit. See, this is what the Lord's trying to say. The Holy Spirit needs to be in you. It is in you. You need to allow it to flow. We had one time where we had a person say, why is the Dead Sea dead? Because there are no outlets. Why do people get dry? They burn up all the fire that they got inside of them. The Holy Ghost is still there, but there's very little, and it's not enough to make a spark to get it going. So what happens is, if you aren't speaking and praying and talking to people, guess what goes on? You dry up. Doesn't mean it isn't there. It just means it's not being used. But he needs to have a way to fill you up again. You know, when you're out there praying for somebody and somebody's getting healed, or you're praying over here and people are starting to have things change, somebody gives their life to the Lord, that's excitement. And when you do that, guess what? The Lord just back into you and makes you stronger, gets you fired back up again. I remember Linda Lawson was here one time, and she says, you need to play this video. And I says, okay. So I looked up the video. It was a Sid Roth video, and there was a man that was up there, and he had somebody come up, and he prayed for this person, and they got healed. It was awesome. And all of a sudden, he looked over the side, and it was a normal church with pews, and he's seen Jesus in the second pew over here on this side, and he's going like this. So he goes over to the Jesus, and he sits there, and he's talking to Jesus. He says, you know, it's good what you did. You know, this is paraphrasing because I don't remember the actual words, but it was something on that. He says, but look up there. So he turned around, and all of a sudden, that one person that got healed was praying for everybody else. And before long, there was a whole group of the people praying together, and they were getting healed left and right. He says, that's what I want my body to do. That's what the church is for. It's not about me praying for you. I can pray for you, but it's about you praying for each other. It's for you using your gifts. You can sit on your blessed assurance, Sharon's word, that's the backside, and do nothing and complain about it constantly. Or you can get up and you can go release the Holy Spirit into somebody's life. Thurman put it this way. It says, lay hands on. If you go and you lay your hands on and said, thank you, Father, and walk off, you did more than most people do in the body of Christ. I loved it when I was reading about the hunters. And Charles said, he says, there's a power plant over there. There's wires that come from the power plant into your house, and there's the wires that go to your lights. But those lights will never come on, even though the power's there, until you flip the switch. That's your hands. That's your faith. That's your mouth speaking the word of God. The switch. And the switch has been turned off for so long. Time to turn the switch on. Time to release the Holy Ghost. You don't think he can? The very person that gives their life to Christ can raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons. Why? It's not about you, it's about the Holy Ghost. It's not about you, it's about the Holy Ghost. If you think you have to do anything, then you've been overexposed. They've told you too much. You're thinking, I got to do all this stuff. No. You just have to allow the Holy Ghost to move. And that comes down to your will. I can't do that. I don't want to do this. Why? Well, what happens if I try and it doesn't work? Then they're going to think I'm stupid. flesh. Overexposed. Only they can. That's why I got to go to Thurman or Cheryl when he was here to get prayed for. I'll be very honest. I've had to deal with my attitude. My attitude. And it's not coming against anybody. It's because of overexposure and being underdeveloped. We had many speakers there. And once in a while they say, anybody that wants to get touched or healed, come up, sit up here. Many people came and sit up here, and I'm thinking, why are they sitting up there? What is the purpose? Overexposure and underdeveloped. If you hear what he said, what they said, anybody wants to be healed, set free, or something done, they all come up here. I didn't go up. I learned a long time ago. It's just like any time, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just putting out what the Holy Ghost is, not to condemn. Maybe God's convicting. That's all I'm saying, because I'm not condemning on this one. I'm not coming against anybody. I'm just putting out a fact. You take it and allow the Holy Spirit to move you. That's why when we were in First Assembly, everybody was grabbing buses and going down to Brownsville. They kept saying, oh, you got to go. It's so great. It's so great. I says, no. God is here, and if he wants to do that there, he'll do it here. That's for them, not us. Because I'm not going someplace just for somebody else's revival, some revelation. Why? I mean, I'll be very honest. I've gone down front before. I was in a church, and I went down front, and I was standing there, and the guy prayed for me, and I fell backwards, and I was not in the spirit, apparently. Because I would, my wind went out, hurt my back. I laid down. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I messed up. I don't know why I fell down. I'm just being honest with you. This is what we go through. Overexposure, underdeveloped. That's what the Lord's got today. And why? When I got up, my back quit hurting. I had a back problem. God still healed me because I was honored by going there and doing. Sometimes we do things we don't even know, but he'll still honor us. But he wants to teach us so we get past our immaturity, past our will, past ourselves of doing what we want to do. That's one of our biggest problems, our flesh. It wars against our spirit. The more we're in the spirit, the less we're in the flesh. So praise the Lord. That was not in my notes. But if that's what God wants, that's what he wants. That's why he's got me here. Praise the Lord. But I was here to teach people their covenant rights according to the New Testament. And in doing so, it's the foundation. I've watched this. Very few people have a good, solid foundation. I watch it, and all of a sudden, you can see what they say, how they act, what they do. They don't have a good foundation. They know of, as I grew up in church, I knew of God. I was taught for 30 years. Since I was a baby, I think I was saved before I was even born. And it felt like I was born in church, because I've been in church all my life. My father, some know, some don't, on my mother's side, was the pastor of the church. So it's been pretty wild and interesting, but through that whole process, I've been taught the Word of God. I took, at that point, when I got 30 years old, ended up in divorce, tried to work out it, would not work out, ended up being divorced that way. And then I met Debbie, and then she came up, we moved into First Assembly. So from the church I was at, I learned all the Word. Went to First Assembly, I learned about the Spirit of God and rapture. That's the only two things I actually learned in the Assembly of God. Then I went to Baptists, Presbyterians, Assembly of God, some other few things that we went through as we traveled around Northwest Iowa, and then I ended up in Cornerstone. I said, ooh, this is a little different. And in Cornerstone, they had Marilyn Hickey. I hadn't heard of Mary Hickley before. But she was saying, she was singing, and all of a sudden when she got through singing, she said, I heard two voices behind me. I says, oh my goodness, two voices behind her. She says, there'll be a day when church, when you're standing there, and you'll see angels walking up and down the hallway. I says, wow, that's exciting. This is cool. And then she says, I was healed of an incurable or of a generational curse of my family about heart problems. Everybody in my heart and my family were dying of heart problems. She says, that's a generational curse. I hadn't heard of a generational curse before, but even though I heard it from the Word of God for 30 years. They've taught me about it, but I just didn't understand it because I didn't have that principle of the Word of God. So guess what happens? I learned later about it, but it was a planting of the seed in my heart to receive when I heard the truth so that I could have it harvested. There's so much planting in your heart that you need to have that God can water it and bring it to a place of harvest. So I says, wow, this is exciting. We really enjoyed the Cornerstone. And then we went to a Full Gospel Businessman. That's where I got healed of the incurable disease, seeing a born-again Jew drop people in the hallways or an eye, you know, just unbelievable. We went, and they all, boom, in one time. I wasn't there, but we heard about it from friends that were there. They all fell in the sanctuary. Everybody was down. I said, whoa. Of course, I said one time they brought, he was on this stage when we were there, and he had a guy up front, and he said, just come here, and he said, read. So they read the Bible. Boom, went to the other side and called that person. He says, read the Bible. So he started reading. Boom. He says, that's how much power is in the Word. If God didn't allow us to read it without falling down, we'd never get very far. And then he turned around and he says, there's a guy right here in the middle of the highway. And he says, stand up. He says, back up. And he says, now back up, back up, back up. Stop. The guy just stood there. Didn't say any more, didn't he? And all of a sudden the guy falls in the Spirit. He says, there's a white tornado there. All I had to do is back him up into the white tornado, and God took over. He did the same thing. That's what I want. I want the power of God to move. I don't want to be bored. I want God to intervene and have stuff go on however he wants to do it, as long as it's in of the Father and in his order, and his order isn't always the same as our order. I know that. Because I think it should be done this way, and he does something else. But as long as it's lined up with the Lord, he's going to do some awesome and magnificent things. And that's what I've been teaching about, is the foundation. If you have the foundational stones strong, when you start to build on the house, it isn't going to fall. I know when they were coming against Jesus, and one of the Pharisees there said, just let him go. If it's of God, it'll stand. If it won't, it'll fall. Bible says if he doesn't build the house, it'll fall. How do you build the house? You put a good foundation underneath it. A lot of the homes you find are falling apart is because the foundation was falling apart. There's other reasons they get destroyed, but that's one of them. So is your foundation really strong? This all started on this journey way back when. I'm not doing it so much anymore, and I can tell the difference. But I used to wake up about 1 to 2. I'd fall asleep about 10, get up about 1 or 2, and just sit in the presence of God on the edge of the bed. And I'd see myself going to the third heaven. We can do that. The Bible says you can boldly enter into the third, into the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus. So I do that, and as I was sitting there one day, all of a sudden I seen God. I mean, I didn't see him. I didn't see his face, but I knew he was this close in front of my face. And he started telling me a bunch of stuff I needed to know, which was good. And then he said, I gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, and they failing that task. They're failing that task. Whew. I don't want to be one that fails that task. One thing is, they're not building a strong foundation to stand on. If you don't believe it, watch how many churches start and how many churches are falling apart today. I'm going to tell you, this place here, had God not put a good foundation inside of me, would not be here today. The enemy has tried everything to destroy this place, to remove it, to get rid of it. I even thought there for a while, as I told you before, about selling the building and going back into our home or to a motel. That's not God's will. But because I've been on the foundation, he has been able to keep this place going and still going because he's not through with it, and he wants it to be. And I've told people about it, some haven't known about it. When we first moved into this building, the first thing he said, proclaim and decree this place an international headquarters for gifts of spirit. It's not for this meeting. These are supposed to be out in the homes doing what they're supposed to do. But this is supposed to go internationally. So we got a lot of ways to go. God's got a lot to get done. I thought we'd be a lot farther than we are now, but we're not. But the warfare has been so strong, and things that have happened have not been nice. And so we're just believing that now, with a change of season, something's going to happen, and it's very possible it will go quickly. It wouldn't take long. You might say, what do you mean it would take long? Okay, if we have, you start putting that math together. I'm not a mathematician. Some people are very quick, boom, 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 boom. So if you take 10 groups, and let's say you have 5 people in each group, and they bring a second person in, how long is that group going to, how fast is it going to grow? And if those people bring one person in, and those people bring one people in, what's going to happen? The thing is, this is what it's designed for. We're going to have so many people that we're going to have big buildings like normal churches do, or we're going to have to train up the people that are there so that they can lead and train people in small homes so that we can expand this thing out and consume the darkness. That's what this is about, consuming the darkness. We sit here and we look at, we got 2 family fellowships right now, 2 cell groups. They are a cell church is what they are. That's where our church is, not here. This is a family community get-together of the groups. That's what it's supposed to be designed as. And when we get this all working even greater and stronger, it will be amazing what will happen. But the thing is, how fast can you grow? You could have 100, 1,000 real quick. We aren't prepared for that. We can't handle that at the present time. But we will be able to, because God's given us the floor mat to take care and do that. That's what we're starting to step in and make it happen. So praise the Lord. Just a little bit of a vision there that's going on. So we got to build that strong foundation in every person that we have so that when they start to build up their ministry and what they're doing, they don't fall down. One of the things that's really hitting me hard right now is the unity of the body of Christ. The hardest thing is the unity of the body. And what is the unity of the body? Unity. That's what I've said before when I talked about the stone or the block of unity. I didn't even know it was a block that we need to put in there, but it's missing in the body of Christ. Average person, it's missing. The fact is, I've used the scriptures before about he made us one man, and I've heard people talk about one man, but I don't see the unity that it's bringing. I'm not saying they didn't teach wrong, it's just I didn't see it at the time, but I'm seeing it clear now because I got a revelation. They had a revelation. They taught on it, and that was good. But when you get that revelation, when Jesus brought both the Jew and the Gentile together, why is there an argument that the Christians are saying, oh, the Jews killed Jesus? Why are Christians against Jews? Why are Jews not coming together with Jesus? If Jesus did it on the cross, what happened? Because that stone was not put in the people who know Christ, who have received Christ and walking. They're not standing on that. There's a big hole. So you can build a great foundation but have a problem with the Jews. Boom, it's going to crash. Guarantee it's going to crash. There's issues out there that have to be changed, and a lot of it will be these stones. I just want you to know. And that's what the Lord was saying. Explain and make sure people understand how important. I've taught these things. If you ever want to really change, go back and listen to everything that I talked about on this foundation and see if you've got to build in. If you need more information, give me a call. We'll sit down and we'll work on it. It has to be developed. That's the very first thing the Lord wants, so that anything that you build will grow. And if it isn't, then it will affect what you grow, what you build. I've seen it through many years of different ministries and what's happening. I keep hearing overexposed and underdeveloped. That means when you are attached to the vine, where are you getting your nutrition? Where are you getting your nutrition from? I don't care if you're attached to the vine. As I said before, if you're attached to the vine, that's the last time I talked about it. What's coming from the vine into you? Righteousness. The Holy Spirit. The life of God. It feeds you. It gives you everything you need. It'll build your faith. It'll build your love. It'll build everything that you need. Everything you're attached to. This is what Jim was talking about. He says they took and got away from the rest and started being attached to the vine again and start pulling it out of everything that you need. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in you, the righteousness of Christ hits you. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Very few people have done that. And when you have that in you, guess what? You've got full nourishment of everything come on you. And I was just thinking about this. The Lord was saying the average person being overexposed doesn't get it from that. They get them from the teachings they're listening to, the programs they go to, where they go to the meetings, where they're doing all the, they're letting the nutrients come down and fall on the outside trying to soak in. They're not getting it from the inside. From the source, underdeveloped. That's the underdeveloped part. Not seeking and wanting to find out what's going on. But Jim said, I'm getting rid of all that outside nourishment that I've had. It's not bad. It's not wrong. But he says, I'm attaching back to the vine. I'm drawn from the inside. Good example. And I hate to keep using Thurman, but I get a lot of experiences from him. One day I was talking to him. I says, man, you know, I got this one book that I learned. He says, you know, I got people sending me books all over the place. He says, they're stacked up in my office. He says, I won't take time to watch them or listen or talk to them. He says, I sit there and I listen to the Holy Spirit. He's attached to the vine. Hours upon hours of being attached to the vine, pulling everything out of what God has into you to learn what it is. And he developed himself in love. He developed himself in righteousness. He developed himself in the image of God. And he developed, his fruits were powerful. It wasn't because he was a better man than you or woman than you. Doesn't matter that he's a better person than you. He just got attached to the vine. Man, if you're attached to the vine, I mean, I just loved it. He walked up, and I have to say it because my flesh gets in the way sometimes. And there's some people that he says, oh, little lady, how are you doing? You know, you're such a beautiful little lady. What can I do to help you? You know, I don't know how, maybe you heard him talk to him about it, but that's what he said, you know. This little lady come up, this little beautiful lady come up, and I'd seen a picture of the beautiful little lady, and I'm thinking, he's looking through God's eyes. I'm being honest. I'm human. I'm not going to lie. I had to change my heart. I says, we need to see everybody through his eyes, through God's eyes, because he was seeing them through God's eyes. You know, they come up, and I mean, we don't do that sometimes. We think differently because we aren't seeing through God's eyes. You argue and complain about people saying this, that, and the other because you see them through your eyes and your understanding, not God's eyes and God's understanding. That foundation isn't put there. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't had my foundation built wrong, built totally straight up to that place, because I've abided with the Lord. Since 1980, I took and I said, not my will, but thy will. And I locked onto that vine, and I heard a lot of different things, but it never made a change. I've been sucking from the vine. I've been drawing from the vine. I've been bringing it from the vine. The Holy Ghost, the wisdom, the knowledge, I kept asking. I kept saying, Father, what is it? He kept bringing it in. All those hurts and pains from way back when, the filter that I talked about last week was destroyed and removed, so now the fullness of glory can come through. I was sitting here this morning. I was not in tune with the Lord. I mean, Debbie's over there floating in the Holy Ghost, and I'm sitting there. Okay, that's good. I like the song. Things are happening. I'm just being honest with you, people. I'm not trying to be any great person. I'm just sitting here. Just remember, I said I wasn't planning on having somebody else teach today. Been easier. I could have stayed in bed for a while. Saying, oh, I'm just not really up to coming in today. So then, you know, somebody else take care. I'm sitting back here. But I sat in this chair, and the Holy Ghost came through me. Instant, in season, and out. Constantly praying without ceasing. That's communication. It's not what I wanted to say. It's not what I wanted to do. It's his will, not mine. He wanted me here. He could not have said that if I hadn't been here. He might miss what you need to do if you aren't willing to open up and let him do what he needs to do through you. But you want to sit there and, well, fine, sit there and when you get to heaven, all your works will be burned up and you'll be in a very back seat enjoying yourself with all the other people. Oh, the 10 virgins, the 5 that didn't have the oil. It's just truth. I'd rather have you know about it now than when you get to heaven and say, wow, I could have been up there doing something different. I'm stuck back here. Just, you know, it's your responsibility. It's your desire. It's what you want. God gave you a free will. You're sovereign. Nobody can teach you, cause you to change, or do anything else. And this is not condemnation. If you're being condemned, it's coming directly from the devil. Tell him to get out. This is from what the Holy Ghost is wanting to put in your heart, to let you know, to grow and prosper you, and bring you to a place where he can really bless you. I heard one thing just now, because he wants to say it. I've been waiting to bless some of you, but I can't get to you. I've been waiting to bless some of you, but I cannot get to you. Open up. Allow me to move. And you will see what I've got for you. He doesn't want to wait till you get to heaven. He wants you fully open, fully blessing, because if you aren't blessed, then guess what? Somebody down the road will not be blessed. If you're not blessed and not walking with the Lord, somebody down the road will not be blessed, because he has to use you to get to them. Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that. You're not attached to the vine very well. That's why when he said, you know, repent and walk down. If you're that hard and you don't want to receive the love of God, and maybe he does and I don't know, I'm not going to judge him from last week. But when you're that hard and you don't want to see the love of God, and that's what I was talking about, abiding and loving in God, those are the vines, the limbs that are cut off, the ones that are attached to the Lord. He will cut them off and throw them on the pile, and they'll all be burnt up. They won't make it to heaven. You say, well, that sounds weird, but that's why I use Howard Pentman when he was at the gate of heaven after he died. And he says, I want to go back. I never heard anybody say I'm going to heaven and tell God I'm going back. I've heard him come back, but I never heard him. I want to go back. I heard him. And he says, God came up and he says, I've done all these great and magnificent things for what we've been told. All those overexposures, what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it. He did it. And God said, you were never attached to me. You never did what I was. And he says, you've done all those things for yourself. You've never done them for me. Hear what the Lord and the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. He says, if you came in here, he didn't say it, but he says, you would have torment. Torment was because all of his works would have been done, would have been burnt up, and he would have been in torment in heaven. I didn't know there was torment in heaven until I heard that, and God told him. That's why he came back down. And you can listen to what he's saying to the churches today, what he was talking about. He's also in that placebo, and part of it, what's happening. It's serious. It's life and death. And I'm not talking about just dying here, and I'm talking about dying from here and going to heaven or going to hell. Spiritual death, not just physical death, spiritual death. You might make it to heaven, get in by the skin of your teeth. Praise God you're there. But you'll wish you had done more before you got there. That's why we want to build this up. That's why we want people to have the foundation so strong and trained so strong that when they get those stones in there and they start to build up, it'll never fall down. They won't go sideways. They won't be pushed off. The devil won't beat them up, won't cause them. I know one time, you know, we always talk about how the guy that way back when, the one man was very powerful. He said that they had a rocker out front and he heard it squeaking and the devil was there. And he says, oh, it's just you. And he went back to bed. There was a time at home, we were sitting in bed at night, and all of a sudden the thing go shake like crazy. It's, get out of here in the name of Jesus. I had to walk in my faith. Then Debbie, even, I never thought it was Debbie, but she said it happened to her too. So she had to stand in her faith and kick that demon out. They want to scare you and get into you. When you get fear, they just pop right inside you because they love fear. Fear is one of their best weaponry to get you. To get into you, to cause you to have problems. Demons look for warm bodies so they can do things. So praise the Lord. I won't go down that today. Okay, Father, I don't know. I'm just trying to do what you're telling me to do, and we'll go from there. You know the word and proclaim it. You can see some things happen. But until you abide in the vine, you will not walk in the anointing of God. This is one thing I've learned through the years. One time I read that, oh man, it stuck in me real quick. It was early on. I was reading in the scripture. It says in Isaiah 10:27, and thou shalt come to pass in that day that the burdens shall be taken away off of your shoulders. You want burdens off your shoulders? You want your issues to disappear and be gone? According to this, it says, and shall come to pass in that day, Isaiah 10:27, that this burden, his burden, will be taken away from off their shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. You got to get this. Because of the anointing. How do you get the anointing? Abide. You go out to this. I'll guarantee you what. I've learned. When I got into World Ministry Fellowship, I went down to Fairfield, Iowa. And just north of the Gurus was a church, and they were state directors. And they had a revival fire meeting. I mean, it was a revival. And it was awesome, a three-day event. And we went down there and stayed there, and we went to every meeting. And the very last meeting, they asked us to come up and pray for people. So we did. And people were falling all over, and great things were happening. I mean, it was the most anointed meeting I'd been in for a long time. It was awesome. I came back here, and we were at this church. We were on the prayer team. And the first person I prayed for, they fell in the Spirit. I've had it happen before. I don't care if they fall in the Spirit. It's not about falling in the Spirit. It's all about whether God's moving or not. But they fell in the Spirit. And I'm thinking, what? And the next one fell in the Spirit. And then the pastor told the assistant pastor to have us go to the far end because he didn't like the people laying on the floor when he started to teach. It was bothering people. I think it bothered him. I could be wrong. But anyway, we went to the other side. It was happening over there. And it happened for about a month. And then all of a sudden, I pray for somebody, and nobody's there. I mean, nobody falls down. I says, what's wrong with me? Now, all of a sudden, I've been praying for people, been falling all over the place. Now, nobody's falling all over the place. Before, nobody fell all over the place. Now, they're all falling over the place. I don't understand this. What's going on, Father? He says, you're walking in their anointing. You're walking in their anointing. Huh? You were in their anointing, and it came on you, but it's not yours. It's theirs. And it lasted for a little while till it's gone. Thurman, I'll use him again, he said a lot of people have been in his ministry, and they could pray just like he prays. They're on the phone. People are getting healed. Things are going to happen. And the minute they leave, within a month or so, it's gone. They can't do the same thing they did when they were in Thurman's building. Why? It was not their anointing. It is Thurman's anointing. They're in the anointing. The anointing grabs on them, and they walk in that anointing. I says, oh, I have to become anointed. When I read that, I said, I have to become anointed. I have to become anointed. I didn't know how to get anointed. My church of 30 years never told me about an anointing. They never told me what it takes to be anointed. I didn't know, so I started asking the Father. I said, I need to walk in my anointing. This is before I ever had the experience down in Fairfield. I was learning. I just knew in the Spirit, in my spirit, I have to be anointed. Why? Because in Zechariah 4:6, when he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. What does it say there, dear? Yeah.
Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Right there. It says, by my spirit. People try to do this, try to force that, try to go here. That doesn't work. You can get some things done. You can achieve things. I said, wow. What did Jesus say? Luke 4:18-19. Would you read that there?
Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, oh, I'm sorry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set them at liberty, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Whew. Wow. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. What, when you get the revelation, what caused him the power to preach, the power to deliver, the power to heal? What was it that caused him the ability to preach, the ability to heal, and the ability to deliver? Because he was the Son of God? No. Because he was anointed. If you're not walking in the anointing, you're hindering God from moving what he wants to do in you. You are anointed. From the day you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit came in you. The Holy Spirit is the anointing, and he gave you the power. He gave you the authority. You can do all things through Christ, but we sit here and say, why we can't do this? Well, you can do it. It's in you, because it's not you. It's God. That's why when you're hooked up to the vine, and you start to receive the revelation that the Holy Spirit has given you, so the Holy Spirit can move through you and do the things that Jesus did, that's what it's about. I had to work on myself a long time, because I was introverted, backwards, and stupid. At least I thought. So I had to work on myself. And I said, Father, I'm so fearful, I can't do it. I can't talk to people. I'm going to mess things up. That's what I was saying for years. But I start planting the seed. That was what was coming out of me. That's what I spoke over myself. But I start planting the seed. All things are possible through Christ who strengthened me, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I got all the monkeys in there. I'm having more fun than a barrel of monkeys. I got to have fun. Fun, you have fun when you have joy. If I don't have joy, it's a reminder. I got to have joy. I walk in there. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to have joy. Yeah, thank you, Father. Change my attitude. Because without joy, you are miserable. You have no power. You have no authority. Other than you just said, devil, beat me up. Beat me up. Tear me up. Tell me how rotten I am. I'll agree with you. Tell me I can't do anything. I'll agree with you, and I'll sit here and do nothing. But I had to beef myself up. I had to plant that seed. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not sitting here because I can do it. I'm sitting here because Jesus can do it. And I'm giving him full reign to do what he needs to do. That's all you have to do. Give him reins. Become the switch. Let him do something. Let him move through you. Just switch. I don't know how many people can turn a switch on. How much training do I have? How many hours do I have to teach you? And how many meetings do we have to go to flip the switch on? What's it going to take? Do we have a week-long meeting of turning the switch on? Come on. Let's get a switch out here on a board and say, come up here and see if you can flip that switch on. See if you can get that thing going. How much is it going to take to flip that switch? It's not flipping the switch. It's the knowledge of knowing what happens when you flip the switch. The knowledge of knowing when you put your hands on and you believe without doubt that you're a power of the Holy Spirit inside you. You say, Father, I don't want it anymore. I give it to him. Let them have that Holy Ghost. Let the healing come. Let the joy come. Let those things that's in their lives be destroyed. Remove it from me and give it to them. So you can fill me up with more so I can go touch somebody else. So I can turn their switch on. Get them going. Change them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Make them happen. Whew. Exciting. But you can't do that if you're not anointed. Because the devil don't want you to be anointed. Doesn't want to know you have an anointing. That's why that one young boy I've said before, this one lady, she was a teacher, and this boy was the worst person in the world, always causing problems, wish you could get rid of him. One time she was sick, and she came in there, and the little boy says, you mind if I pray for you? And she says, oh, brother, now what's going to happen? And he says, God heal her in the name of Jesus. You know, not that loud, but he just said, Jesus heal her. And she was totally instantly healed. He flipped the switch. How much did he know? Nothing. He just believed. If I pray, she'll be healed. Sharon's grandma, her grandson, little baby, you know, a little young boy. She was sick, and he says, oh, grandma's just the devil. She flipped the switch. Released the Holy Ghost. That's all you got to do. You walk out there, and somebody's standing there, and you don't even, they don't realize it, but if you don't mind, you know, do you mind if I touch your shoulder? Yeah, I touch your shoulder. What you doing? Father, release the Holy Ghost in her and just change them. Change them. He says, it's that simple? Yes. You mean I've been through all this overexposure to find out all I had to do was flip the switch? Yes. All you have to do is flip the switch. You have to trust in the Lord. You have to be attached. Or you can go to the anointings and walk around with an anointing for a while until it wears off, because that's all the nutrition that comes on the outside of the vine. It comes on the outside. It's not yours. It's just something that you walk in for a short period of time until it wears off, because it's not yours. How much anointing do you want? What kind of anointing do you want to be in? That's what this is all about. That's why when you get that foundational stones underneath there, that's why you'll be able to walk in this tremendously. And the last stone that I can think of that the Lord has given me, because we have several of them there, is the nature of God. If you're not walking in the nature of God, you're really going to have a hard time. And you might say, what is the nature of God? The same thing that Adam lost when he sinned. Adam had the nature of God until, and it's just hit me real strong again, as it was brought up last week, you know, you letting women work in here, and he left, and the reason being, I says, you know, Pat went through and he was saying we need to explain all the different scriptures and everything else. I'm going to give you a very basic principle, and I praise God for Pat for doing that, and he wants to hear more about it. You can talk to him, and he'll show you and teach you on that aspect of it, and I think it's good. It needs to be done. But for me right now, I'm just going to, because this is what I'm hearing in the Spirit again, to explain it. God created Adam in his image, and then he split the atom. Took Adam, put the rib out, which is half a container of what God is. Went over and created a body around it. He didn't go make a new person. He just created a body around it, brought the female back to the male. And then every time he came down, he called him Adam. Not one. They're all unified. So this comes down to the woman, the female, also had the nature of God, as well as the male had the nature of God. It wasn't until sin that it was divided. They were divided because the nature of God left. The nature of God is the Spirit of God. Then he said, I call my wife, the female, Eve. Until then, they were all one. Jesus came back on the cross to die so we can become one in him. That means male and female. And if I walk in the kingdom of God, I can let women work. If God's anointed them and they're underneath the authority of their husband, if they're married, they're still under authority because there's a physical law and a spiritual law. The spiritual law, we're all one. There's no division. But when in the physical law, there is a law of marriage. And the man's ahead. But the man also has to line up with a father and love his wife, just as Christ loves the church. A lot of times you get into boldness and saying, I'm the head and I'm going to do this. That's wrong. They aren't in love with God, or they wouldn't do that. So what happens, they come down, and if they come over the authority and say, yes, my wife has a calling, and I want them to go out like Sharon does and some other women that are major ministries out there, but their husband is in agreement and supporting them. It lines up with God, and it works perfect. So, yes, they can. If you're in the kingdom of God thinking, if you're not, no. You're back in the religious Old Testament of the division, and that's the way it's going to be. So I just want to explain that real quick. If you have any questions, you can talk to us about that. But in Galatians 5:22-26, but the Holy Spirit produced this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. You want to read the rest of that there? And 23.
But the gentleness, self-control, there is no law against these things.
And 24.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
Amen. I'll tell you what. That's a big one. Let us not become conceited or provoked one another or be jealous of one another. Again, it all comes down to your love. If you're not really pulling from the Holy Spirit, you're going to have those issues. If you have those issues, you're not really pulling from the Holy Spirit. You're not yoked like you should be with the Holy Spirit from the vine. And it says, Corinthians 13:4-10, love is patient. I always put it this way. Are you patient with yourself? Love is kind. Are you kind with yourself? Does not envy. Do you want something else? Envy is the same thing as covetousness. You have something out here. There's a nice black pickup out here. I love to have a pickup. But I don't want to have that pickup, because that would be coveting my brother's pickup. But people do it all the time. I want that. No, you don't. You want one like that, and you're not coveting. You're just wanting something, and there's nothing wrong with that. Big difference, but a lot of people don't understand that. But I'm envious. He's got a pickup, and I don't have a pickup. No, you aren't that way. If you are envious of what people have, then you got a problem. You're not loving yourself, and you don't have God's love in you. I'm telling you right now, if you're not patient to yourself, you don't have God's love in it. You're not attached. You have not got enough of the holiness inside you going to set you free. The same thing with kindness. And you're not boastful. I'm not proud. You're not rude. Not self-seeking, not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrong. Loves does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Think about that. That's what I did with him. I didn't come against him. I just prayed for him. Then I asked the Father, do I need to repent? Is there something in me? Because I'm not above reproach. If he told me there's need to repent, then I need to find out, is it true? If there's something I need to repent, and I will ask the Father, and I did. I found out if there was something I needed. But then 10, I like this. And this is the NIV, and it's the only one that says it this way that I know of. It says in 10, but when perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. What are we supposed to do according to God? What he was saying to me that day in heaven, what is Ephesians 4 says, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, is the for the perfecting of the saints. You want to walk in the nature of God. The reason we have a division in the body of Christ, the reason we have sin so strong and the devil's taken over this world, we have not perfected the saints. The saints are out there doing what they're supposed to be doing, because that's what the Lord said. My shepherds and the fruits, that, you know, the gifts he was talking about, he says, are perfecting people to do the work of the ministry before they perfect them with me, with my love, with my peace, with my nature. That's been the problem. That's what we're trying to do here, is perfect people first before we put them in the work of the ministry. Even people come in and say, I know this and I know that. Well, that's great. But you better find out if you're perfected, because if you aren't, I'll tell you, the devil will take you out so fast, you'll be done, gone, and everything else, something will happen, and you'll be out of here before your time. I'm just being honest with you. It's not to condemn you. If there's a convicting power, don't come against me. If I stepped on anybody's toes, don't talk about it, because it wasn't my foot, it was God. And I'm not here to hurt you. I want you to be set free. If you have any questions or concerns or problems, you can call me. We'll sit down, we'll talk. I don't come against people. I just try to help understand what's going on and see if we can get things resolved. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you for this blessed day. Thank you for your spirit here. Thank you for getting me to this position, because as I said, for my own self, I had to crucify my flesh to be here. So I thank you for crucifying my flesh so I could be here, because I love my brothers and sisters, your children, and we thank you that we will talk through me and work with me, and we can speak what you want, because that's all we want is your will to be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. We ask that you bless each and every one, allow them to continue to go and move and do everything in the name of Jesus. We give you full glory, honor, and praise in all things. Amen and amen.